This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Far too many people have lost their lives in Myanmar. Many have suffered appalling deaths. And those that have lived through the atrocities have witnessed or endured unspeakable cruelty. That in itself is a reason, and a very compelling reason, why we, all of us, cannot keep silent. At the same time, those of us who are based in the region have learned, and I believe I speak for all neighboring countries, when I say that we want to avoid a repeat of the 2015 boat people crisis.
That was Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib Razak addressing the humanitarian crisis affecting the Rohingya community in Myanmar. He was speaking at an emergency meeting held by the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. The alleged cruelty suffered by the Rohingya Muslims at the hands of Myanmar's security forces has raised the alarm across the globe. Almost 70,000 people from the Rohingya community have fled from the terror in search for safety in Bangladesh. Bangladesh Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina responded to this issue by attempting to relocate the Rohingya refugees to a remote island known as Tengachar. The move, however, stirred a lot of controversy. Brad Adams is the executive director of the Asian Division of Human Rights Watch. He explains the remote island is not habitable and prone to flooding.
If you talk privately to people in the Bangladeshi government who are sane and humane, they will say that this is not possible. It's hard to understand why Sheikh Hasina persists with this. I mean, she could make other proposals that may or may not be acceptable, but that don't include putting people on an island long way from where they are now in an uninhabitable place. I mean, she really, what she needs to do is to ask for international assistance to provide food, shelter, medical care, clothing to the Rohingya where they are, and be organizing opposition at the OIC. There was the emergency session of the OIC in KL, and they didn't come out and call for the strongest possible measures. It's not clear why they choked at the last minute. They didn't really put pressure on Burma. They said, well, we don't like this, do better. And the Burmese have no intention of doing better.
Several committees have also been formed by the Bangladesh government to look into the influx of Rohingya Muslims. Jonah Blank is the senior political analyst of RAND Corporation. He says Bangladesh fears this could lead to law and order issues if they mix with local residents.
The government of Bangladesh is very concerned about an influx of Rohingya refugees because the Rohingya, many of them, speak Bengali, and so it's not only afraid for the 69,000 who've already fled, they're afraid that if these refugees are integrated, they may find many more crossing the border. I think it's an effort to manage those two facts, and the way the government is managing it is not making the refugees happy, not making the international community happy, and probably not even making their own citizens happy.
Blank believes Bangladesh citizens are open to receiving these refugees from Rakhine to live with them. However, they are also wary of the move.
The Rohingya themselves, in many cases, probably in most cases, have bonds of language and ethnicity and religion with the people in Bangladesh. So it's natural to assume that there would be a lot of sympathy. At the same time, Bangladesh is tremendously overcrowded, and every local community in Bangladesh might well want Rohingya to be let into the nation, but might not necessarily want them to be let into their own individual village. So I think there's a tension between people wanting to be merciful and wanting to be welcoming, but not wanting to be disadvantaged themselves.
Meanwhile, Adams is of the opinion that relocating Rohingya refugees to Tengachar will not end the oppression suffered by the community.
Well, the Prime Minister of Bangladesh has long made it clear that she does not like the Rohingya. She has said some pretty horrible things about the Rohingya, about them being criminals. Sounds a bit like the way the Burmese talk about the Rohingya. She also believes that they would be recruited by the opposition party to support them as fake voters in elections. It's all pretty ridiculous. And so she is trying, on the one hand, to please the domestic constituency that doesn't want her to turn back the Rohingya Muslims from Burma, because that would seem heartless. But on the other hand, she's also trying to play to her nationalistic base to look like she's not having an open borders policy. So she's made this ridiculous proposal, and it, because this isn't even an island, it's just a mud pit that gets flooded at high tide and in the rainy season.
But what do Rohingyas feel about this relocation? Adams explains.
I don't think the Rohingya are worried about being sent to the island so much as they're worried about being mistreated in Bangladesh, which they have been for a long time. I mean, the Bangladesh authorities have pushed people back on boats to their death in the past. There are a lot of Rohingya who have been turned back, as well as a lot who have been able to make it. And inside Bangladesh, they're subject to the worst kind of discrimination. This is the most unlucky people in the world. They're burned out of their villages in Burma. They're killed. They're raped. And then they go to the neighboring country, and they are treated in the most abominable way. I mean, there's no place for the Rohingya to go where they get treated well.
As it stands, Adams believes the future looks bleak for the Rohingya community due to the ignorance of the Myanmar government.
It's primarily the army and the police. They're causing it. But, you know, Aung San Suu Kyi is saying nothing about this. She's not come to the defense of the Rohingya. And nobody can be sure why. Is it just political calculations because the Rohingya are unpopular? Is she also prejudiced against the Rohingya like most Burmese are? Nobody knows, but the point is that, you know, the army's causing it and the civilian government isn't dealing with it. So there's no hope right now for the Rohingya in Burma. We hope that changes. You know, maybe they'll come to their senses and change their policy, but we don't see any sign of it right now.
Adams believes that ASEAN as a whole has failed the Rohingyas.
Well, the Malaysian government, as you know, has been very outspoken. Prime Minister Najib has been very outspoken. The foreign minister has been outspoken. We've heard strong comments from Indonesia in the last couple of days. But it seems like it's all talk, no action. They seem to be following the whole non-interference thing more than protecting the Rohingya in their actions. And they talk very loud. And then when they had their chance at the OIC meeting or a special ASEAN meeting, when they went to NAPIDA to meet Aung San Suu Kyi, they swallowed their words. They didn't agree on common action. And so the Burmese government doesn't feel under a lot of pressure from ASEAN right now. Certainly not the kind of pressure they should be when these kinds of massacres are happening.
Blank sums up that Myanmar can end this entire crisis if they recognize the Rohingya Muslims as one of them.
The government of Myanmar has been treating the Rohingya, who have in many cases lived in Myanmar for longer than Myanmar has been an independent nation. The government of Myanmar, the modern state of Myanmar, fought and won its independence from colonial British Empire in 1948. Most of the Rohingya are descended from people who migrated before that time, when Bangladesh did not exist, when modern-day Myanmar did not exist. So others migrated later, but there is no way to know who came 10 years ago and who came 100 years ago. All of the Rohingya, many of them, maybe most of them, are just as much citizens of Myanmar as anyone else.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.